the Public News Service Daily Newscast, January the 8th, 2026. I'm Mike Clifford. Federal officials face growing calls now to end ICE's expanded enforcement in Minnesota after a protester was fatally shot yesterday. Our Mike Moen reports community activists say they remain committed to pursuing accountability, but the consistent fear is having an effect.
The Department of Homeland Security says a woman was shot and killed by an ICE agent in Minneapolis after her vehicle blocked a street where immigration enforcement was occurring. The agency labeled the woman's action as domestic terrorism, adding that the officer who fired acted in self-defense. But city leaders say bystander videos show otherwise. Hugh Dew of the Minnesota Immigrant Rights Action Committee, or MIRAC, says this makes a bad situation worse.
It's a very harsh and scary reality that we're in right now.
Dew says community volunteers and support organizations will continue training neighbors worried about ICE activity about their rights while providing other support. But she acknowledges the vast resources the federal government has set aside for boosting deportations. Earlier this week, DHS announced it was deploying an additional 2,000 federal officers to the Twin Cities. I'm Mike Moen.
Next from CNN, new U.S. dietary guidelines released Wednesday echo past advice, but also include nods to Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s Make American Healthy Again movement, urging Americans to prioritize protein and healthy fats and limit their consumption of ultra-processed foods and added sugar. Kennedy said during a White House briefing Wednesday, "My message is clear, eat real food." CNN notes the latest update includes images of an inverted pyramid that puts meats, cheese, and vegetables in the widest part at the top, flipping a long-standing visual of the American diet. Meantime, Florida is heading for a political showdown over its congressional map. Just days before the 60-day session is set to begin, Governor Ron DeSantis has called a special session for April 20th. To redraw district lines mid-decade.
His office justifies the move due to population changes since 2022. But House Minority Leader Fentress Driscoll argues the timing is purely political.
No matter what DeSantis says, this is an illegal partisan gerrymander happening because Donald Trump asked for it. Trump wants to rig the midterm elections to prevent the American people from holding his administration accountable.
The announcement reveals political friction, with House Speaker Daniel Perez preferring to tackle redistricting in the regular session. It also previews legal peril, as Senate President Ben Albritton has warned lawmakers could be compelled to testify under oath in anticipated litigation. I'm Tramell Gomes.
Beyond the partisan battle, the outcome will determine political representation for Florida's 23 million residents for years to come. Legal experts predict the courts will have the final say. This is Public News Service. And as New York's 2026 legislative session begins, a bill mandating kids statewide be taught about the January 6th insurrection is being reintroduced.
This comes as public views on it have softened and a new investigation into the attacks begins this year. The legislation was initially introduced in 2025 with some positive feedback. Assemblymember Charles Levine, the bill's sponsor, says there is an obligation to teach kids the truth amid an attempted whitewashing of events.
Without it, our struggle to establish a more perfect union, which is what the founders wanted us to do, and our ability to remain, as Lincoln put it, Earth's last best hope, is in mortal peril.
He adds the bill's overall goal isn't only to present accurate versions of history, but to ensure kids learn about the good and bad parts. It also calls for kids to learn about broader concepts like civic education and values, America's history with diversity, and religious tolerance. The bill failed to pass out of the Assembly and Senate Education Committees during the 2025 session, but Levine hopes it will gain traction as the session continues. I'm Edwin J. Vieira.
Next, Louisiana officials have been using funds from the 2010 Deepwater Horizon oil spill settlement to protect coastal areas, but stakeholders are now pushing to fund the restoration of the state's fragile shoreline wetlands.
Officials with the state's Coastal Protection and Restoration Authority are currently developing plans for fiscal 2027 that will include barrier island restorations. Cheryl Sutcliffe is a resilience advisor for the National Wildlife Federation. He says wetlands are disappearing at an alarming rate.
We'll never have as much coastline as we do today. The statistics change here and there, but the overall trajectory of loss and increasing storm risk remains the same.
Sutcliffe says the state is moving away from sediment diversion projects as outlined in the state's 50-year Greater Coastal Master Plan and is shifting funds toward restoring land bridges in coastal barrier islands. The authority is sponsoring a series of public meetings and will accept public comments on the plan through February 17th at coastal.la.gov. Mark Richardson reporting.
And finally, a new U.S. Postal Service rule on postmarks could impact rural voters in Montana and across the country. Advocates for Native communities are particularly concerned.
Instead of postmarking mail the day it's received by local post offices, the postmark will now reflect the date it reaches a regional processing facility. Keaton Sunchild is with Western Native Voice, a Montana nonprofit that addresses issues affecting Indigenous people. He says it could now take another day or two to process mail-in ballots.
Every vote counts, and if we are all of a sudden changing the rules and changing the goalposts mid-go, that just leads to a little bit of confusion and potentially a lot of missed votes.
USPS says it's doing this to cut costs and improve efficiency. I'm Laura Hatch, reporting.
This is by Clifford for Public News Service. Member and listener supported. You can find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.